episode 4 of Walk Me Through the Orchard, where we'll hear Carol Laux share an experience of grief and how a neighbor's love helped her. I'm Kristen Ridge, creator and host. Last week, we enjoyed a great story about first loves and missed second chances with Liz Malmgren. If you missed it, I know you'd enjoy hearing it. Carol Laux was born and raised in Saratoga, California, in the Bay Area. She graduated from Weber State University with a degree in nursing and worked as an ICU and labor and delivery nurse for many years before obtaining a nurse practitioner degree after her children left home. She and her husband Bill lived in Japan for 2 years when they had two young children. They eventually had two more. They had been living in a rental home on Geneva Road for a year and decided that they needed more space. When she visited the ward to see what the people were like, she witnessed some touching displays of love and kindness between some aging sisters that made a profound impression on her. This was September of 1980. The day they moved in, Carol describes having heard angels singing as neighborhood children flocked to their yard and helped them carry boxes in. Carol has special interests in music and food, with talents in these areas that many have enjoyed over the years, including myself. Carol is a beautiful soul with a shrewd thinking mind and a whole lot of compassion and generosity. She has blessed our community in so many ways for decades. It was an honor to talk with her about one of her most touching life experiences in this neighborhood.
So Carol, when you moved here, you were coming off of Geneva and you were able to visit the congregation, the ward congregation, before you moved in, and you had some really neat experiences, just kind of as an observer. What kinds of things did you experience when you visited here before you moved?
I was sitting in Relief Society, and of course I didn't know anybody. And I don't remember if it was next to me or in front of me, but there were two ladies who were a generation or so older than I was, and they were just chit-chatting. One of them commented to the other that they had family in town for a few days. And the other one, I can tell you who the ladies were. They're both deceased. They were both just angels here on earth. One was Fern and one was Melba. And I can't remember who had the company and who the other one was. But the one who did not have the company just said, well, what can I do to help? Can I bring over a salad or make a dinner for you guys? And it was just such a spontaneous display of, I love you, and what can I do to help you?
Without a sign-up sheet or, you know, just like overture of love.
Right. And, you know, and the one who had the company didn't, she wasn't lamenting like, oh, I'm overburdened, but but we all are, right, when we have company.
Yes, we are.
And I just was so struck by that, by that show of love and generosity, kindness. Just it's amazing to me. That just really touched me. I thought, I want to live in an area with people like that.
So was this before you had found this house, or was this before you had started looking and then you thought, okay, I want to live in this neighborhood?
We had seen the home.
Okay.
So we were interested in the home.
And that made it even the more appealing.
Right. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we like the location of the home. Mm. We like the floor plan of the home, the size of the home. But we wanted to check out the ward and just kind of feel what the ward was like. And that is what the ward was like. That was not an isolated. I mean, that particular incident obviously was isolated. But there is just such an attitude of love and caring and concern throughout the neighborhood. And, my little neighborhood.
Your little neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right. Then throughout your time here, you've been here, is it 34?
40.
Okay.
43.
43.
Yeah, 43 this month, actually.
Okay. So I want to hear those experiences where there were some close by neighbors here that really were served by members of this neighborhood that you mentioned. One of them was this house right here where a lady was coming in to bring children to church.
We had a family who lived just a couple houses away from us. They've lived in several homes in the ward because they loved the ward so much that they wanted a different home. They wouldn't move out of the ward. They would build another home in the ward. And so the people in the ward knew and loved them. And the wife died in her 50s, and then the husband remarried. and one of their daughters moved into the home.
Mm-hmm.
She had left the church. She had several children, but she and her husband had left the church. But there was a lady on my street who just felt such a love and caring and kind of kindred spirit mm-hmm. for this family, because we all watched Shannon grow up.
Yeah. You know,
I taught Shannon in primary. Yeah. So, you know, we loved Dave and Sue. We loved their kids. And then we see Shannon's kids not being raised in the church. And Evelyn would go over to their house every Sunday morning
mm-hmm.
and pick up the kids and take them to church.
Mm.
That would not be easy to do.
No.
You have to really plan for that.
You do. You
know, a lot of people kind of guard their time, especially on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd have to make sure that she was up and ready early enough to go over
yeah.
there and pick up Shannon's young children. And she did that week after week, month after month.
That is incredible.
Yeah. Evelyn is incredible. I have stories about Evelyn and the service that she has rendered that just could go on and on.
Oh, that's so touching. I love hearing that. Yeah, and that mother, just to have that concern and to have someone be willing to kind of take them under their wing like that, I can imagine she just felt very loved. So that is wonderful.
Yeah, and she needed the love.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they were intermittently active. But sometimes when things are really hard at home, you just kind of going to church is...
It's just too much.
It is.
It just feels like you can't even
right.
get there. Yeah.
And so I'm sure Shannon was grateful to Evelyn.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, it wasn't a... I think this happens in a lot of neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
But this goes back to when we were moving in.
Mm-hmm.
We pulled up with just a pickup truck or a van or something.
Yeah.
Because we were just moving from across town, so we didn't rent a big truck. We were going to make 40 trips.
Right.
In this little pickup truck. And we pulled up, got out of the truck, and before we got to the front door, there were neighbors here to help us.
Wow.
They just, they saw us pull up, and some of the, it was a lot of kids, a couple adults, but a lot of little kids.
A swarm of children.
Yeah, just came over. What can we do to help? They carried boxes in for us and just chit-chatted and
wow.
So warm and so friendly and so welcoming. We felt loved and accepted, like,
wow,
immediately.
Oh,
it's just been wonderful.
That is so special.
And it hasn't changed.
And it hasn't changed. And that was September of 1980, is that right?
It was, yeah.
So, anniversary month this year.
Yeah. In fact, it was probably this week, because it was near the end of September. Today's, the 18th?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that just blows me away, that just spontaneously come over, and that's just amazing. I'd love to hear about this experience with your adult son, if you'd mind sharing, if you'd like to share
okay.
about that.
Yeah, I might tear up a little bit, because it's a hard story to tell.
We could get a Kleenex first, if you want.
We'll see how I do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, Adam, he's 38 now. This story is probably, I don't know, maybe 8 years old, 10 years old. You know how you lose track of time?
Yes.
I have worried about Adam since he was 5. When he was 5, I took him to a little evaluation. Somebody was doing free evaluations. I took him in just because he just wasn't mainstream. He just was doing things that caused me to worry.
Mm.
And nothing really came of that evaluation session. But all through elementary school, it was calls from the teacher, or calls from the principal.
Mm.
Junior high, same thing. High school, he started getting into bigger trouble in high school. Not huge trouble, but he did end up dropping out of high school.
Mm.
And at times he was living with friends. At times he was homeless. This was after, you know,
after
when he was 18
yes.
and older. And times when he was living with us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always hard when he was living with us, because he was not easy to live with. He had a temper.
Mm.
He was lazy. He argued about anything. And he was messy, sloppy. He, you know, damaged things or just made messes everywhere and not clean them up.
Yeah.
And let's see, what was the inciting event? He'd gone to California with some friends, and he came back to different, like really, really different.
Hmm.
And my husband and I didn't quite know what to make of that, but he needed a place to live, so he was staying with us, and I came home from work one afternoon. He was upstairs in his room, and I had just gone into the kitchen on the main floor, and I could hear him upstairs just being noisy. Like mm-hmm. things were being thrown out the window.
Oh.
Or thrown against the wall in his bedroom. Mm. Or he'd start yelling. And there was nobody up there for him to be yelling at. He was just yelling.
Yeah.
Mm. And he's tall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not big and muscular, but he's 6'2", and he's a young man, so I'm physically afraid of him.
Right, for sure.
So I didn't go upstairs, but you know, I stood at the bottom of the stairs, and you know, hey Adam, I'm home. And no response. I said, Adam, are you okay? And he started swearing at me.
Oh.
And I kind of backed off. Okay, I'll just be here if you need anything. And
mm.
and then a little bit later, Adam, do you need anything? Stop calling me Adam. My name's not Adam.
Really?
And I thought, where is that coming from? Why is he saying that? And, and I wasn't quite sure what to do. I called my husband. We talked about it for a minute. And I said, I'm going to call the police. I think this is serious enough that we need somebody else to help intervene.
Mm-hmm.
And so the police pulled up on our street, which is a rare occurrence on our street. We live on this just a very calm,
very quiet,
peaceful, quiet street. But a couple police cars showed up, and I let them in the house, and they went upstairs, and they got Adam to come downstairs, and mm-hmm. right there, take my son out, put handcuffs on him, and arrest him.
Oh.
And it's pretty hard to watch the police take your son away in handcuffs. Especially when you were the one who called the police. Oh, I guess I maybe not especially. It's hard either anyway, I suppose.
Yeah, extremely hard.
And I just felt like, I don't know. I felt so empty and hollow, like my world was crashing down around me. Like I said, we've worried about him for years.
Mm-hmm.
We knew he had problems, but that was just kind of the final straw. And you know, one police car left, and the second one stayed for a little bit. And after they left, and I closed the door, I am home alone.
Oh.
Just not sure where to go or what to do. Just like, what do I do from here?
Mm.
And a minute or two later, my doorbell rang, and it was one of my neighbors from across the street and up a few houses. And it's somebody I've known for several years.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably 15 years younger than I am, maybe 20 years younger than I am. So we're not, you know, we didn't raise our kids together. You know, yeah. She hasn't watched my kids grow up.
Not super close to you.
Right. We had never been tight friends, but we'd always been very amicable. So, you know, she's a lovely person.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that you would do for your best friend, right? But we were not best friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there she was on my front porch.
Mm.
And all she did initially was just give me a hug.
Oh.
Are you okay? And she came in and she sat with me for probably 20 minutes or half an hour. Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
Just stayed with
you. I don't remember if I talked or if she talked. But I just remember.
Well, she was there for you.
The fact mm-hmm. that this woman who did not know me well, mm-hmm. but she knew that I was in a world of hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew that I was alone and that I shouldn't be alone. And she came down and spent, just let me know that I wasn't alone and that she cared and spent time with me.
That's so beautiful.
And that was life-changing. It was huge in the moment. It was just huge in the moment. But it has changed me because there have been so many times when I've been aware of something awful that's been happening to somebody I kind of know.
Yeah,
somewhat. You know, maybe they lost their husband, or maybe somebody lost a job, or maybe, you know, there's been a bad diagnosis in mm-hmm. the family. And I know them well enough that I'm really concerned for them, mm-hmm. but not well enough that I feel like I could impose by going over to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize it is not an imposition.
Mm-hmm.
When people have awful things going on in their lives, They just need to know that they are loved and that they are not alone. And maybe you don't get any further than the front porch. Maybe it's just, I came by to let you know I'm here for you.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, if they invite me in, I'm just more than happy to go and spend time with them. And if they don't, they know that I care. And then if they need something, they can reach out to me. Mm. And so Lorian has completely changed my willingness to go over to somebody that I don't know really well and just reach out to them, be there for them if they need help.
Yeah, it's just so beautiful. It's beautiful and also kind of agonizing to think about how it was an experience with grief that ended up being this transformative thing for you. But it's just so neat because it was just able to show you that grief needs to have attention. And we're all kind of afraid to like, we think we're imposing, but it really needs people's attention, just quiet presence, right?
That's a beautiful way to put it. Yeah. Grief needs attention.
And we're all just, you know, I don't know if I should go over. And I'm still kind of like that because we've been trained to be really polite. But yet, that's the opposite of what people really need. Like, the polite thing is to go over, you know? Right. That's the thing to do.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy you had that experience.
I am too. We know that hard things make us wiser and hopefully make us emotionally stronger. But whoever seeks those, right? Whoever's like, oh, come on, bring it on. You know, it's one thing to go to the gym and be willing to lift some weights that are kind of hard. But we certainly don't seek for, you know, emotional or social challenges. We never want those. And yet, how often do we look back and we're so grateful for them because we emerge, much better people as a result. Yeah, so.
Well, you've had a rich experience here in this area. And I'm just grateful you would be willing to share this. It's just been lovely to hear about. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, thank you for inviting me to share.
That's it for this episode of Walk Me Through the Orchard. It's also the end of season one, a pilot season that I hope you have really enjoyed. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd be interested in sharing a story of your own to help create a second season, please reach out to me at 801-687-1044. All types of stories are welcome. They can be about something sad or funny, an experience of gratitude, a person you learned something invaluable from, or a story of great loss or regret. The storytellers on this season each chose what to share, and I hope it's helped you to get to know these wonderful people better.